gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
It's a Tuesday morning, and that only means one. Well, it doesn't mean one thing. It means that Claire, the garden editor, is here. How are you doing, Claire?
I'm very well, thank you. It kind of means one of two things, doesn't it? It means Tuesday morning I'm here, or Tuesday morning I'm not here.
That's right. It can only be two things on Tuesday, apart from Sticky Bun Tuesday, which is a feature in hour number three. What are we talking about today then, Claire?
So I thought, I get asked some questions a lot about this, and it's one of the things that I think really makes people feel really scared about gardening, and it is, drum roll, please.
Okay,
pruning. Oh, have you got one?
Well, sort of.
Yeah.
You probably didn't hear that.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't, well, but never mind.
Doesn't matter. We'll put one in.
We'll put one in. Yeah. Anyway, for those of you who are keen of hearing, you probably heard I gave away the name there anyway, which is, we're going to talk about pruning.
Okay.
Because pruning is one of those things, isn't it? What you feel about pruning. When I wasn't a gardener, pruning was a bit like, you know, making your own bread and cooking. Like, it was something for other people. It was weird and scary and terrifying, and there seemed to be all complicated rules.
Yeah, well, I'm always scared that I'm going to cut too much off.
Exactly.
It's like being an hairdresser, isn't it? If you cut too much off, it's not as if you can stick it back on.
Well, as ever, it's almost like you've been reading my notes. You're reading my notes, because one of my notes is all about, you know, you cannot stick the branch back on once it's come on.
No, that's right,
you
can't.
We'll come on to that a bit. But so I thought because otherwise this could be really super, super boring and tacky. So first of all, I was going to say, what do you think when you think of pruning?
Hard work.
Yep.
I think it's more mentally challenging, because about knowing where to cut, when to cut,
yes,
and how much to cut off.
Yes. And I would add a question before that, which is, why are you cutting at all? Because I think,
okay, yeah, well, fair that, point, yeah.
Yeah. Because a lot of it is a bit about kind of thinking about what you're doing and why. Mm. And sometimes if you understand what you're doing and why, that kind of makes the rest of it make a little bit more sense, certainly in my way of thinking of the world.
All right.
Before we talk about my magic rules to make pruning much, much easier and much less scary than the books, let's quickly talk about tools and stuff you need to do some pruning. What do you think we should use?
Some sort of cutter things. Some secateurs, they're called, aren't they?
Exactly. Secateurs are brilliant. You're anything like
what
me...
What are those long-handled things? They're like shears, but they're on long handles.
Yep, shears and loppers.
Loppers, that's big, what they're called,
So loppers. Anything over kind of about... Secateurs will take 1 to 2 centimetres, like an inch or so, basic, up to an inch, really, of thickness. Beyond that, you want to be either looking at loppers, which are brilliant. You just kind of like, it's like, they're like scissors, which have been blown up, in my view.
They've got long handles, haven't they?
Long handles. You can get them with telescopic handles. Yeah. You can get them with all sorts of gadgets, you know. Depends if you're pruning something, you know, in a stately home or your little bay tree out the front.
Well, that's right, yeah.
And then you can also get a saw. Pruning saws, which are good if you want to lop off entire branches. But those are the three basic things in kind of stepping up in size: secateurs, loppers, and then saws. And if you're anything like me at the end of the season, my secateurs have got gungy. They've been hard at work. They might not be very sharp.
Yeah.
My top tip, if you want to quickly renovate your secateurs,
go on, Em.
Get some, I might have told this to you before, have I?
No.
Get some cling film. And some tomato ketchup.
All right.
And you squirt tomato ketchup all over all the metal bits.
Yeah.
Cover them really liberally and then
You're not winding me up, are you?
No, absolutely not. I was literally taught this by my lecturer. You cover them in tomato ketchup, you know, the cheapest stuff that you can possibly get.
I was going to say, has it got to be like, can you use like low sugar one or anything?
No. Whatever you can get away with getting cheap.
Okay, all right then.
And also, don't use the last bit before fish and chip night. Can I just say that? Otherwise, you might make yourself very popular.
That would annoy people, wouldn't it? Hey, where's the tomato sauce, mum? I've used it on me secateurs this weekend.
I've used it on my secateurs. That is what's called relationship limiting, isn't it?
Okay.
If you did something like that.
I've got it. So you squeeze tomato sauce all over the
all over
metal
them,
and
then you
moving
wrap,
bits.
Yeah. And then you wrap them up in cling film and you leave them overnight.
Put them in the oven for 4 hours. No.
Bake on a high heat. No, and what that does, the combination of the acids, the kind of the acid within the Ketchup and the fact it's sticking to the blades means that overnight it just removes a lot of the grease, a lot of the dirt, and a lot of the debris which will have built up. And when you come to take them, unwrap them, you'll find lots of black bits, lots of gacky stuff, technical phrase. And that's when you clean them down, and it just removes a lot of the surface dust and then surface debris. And then you can give them a scrub with wire wool and clean them up. We'll cover.
So do you rinse that off with like water or something? Or
Yeah.
All right.
Not a squirt of more vinegar, not some salt and some tartar sauce. It's not
okay,
that bad.
Okay, yeah, all right. Okay, I might have to try that this season.
Try it. It's surprisingly effective. You might get a slight pink tinge to your secateurs for a bit, but it's much easier to start that way rather than thinking, oh, I need to buy new ones or, you know, what I'm going to do. So that's your tools. So I've got a couple of golden rules, really, about pruning.
Yeah.
And we'll do in a separate session. We'll do particular questions because I don't want people to feel overwhelmed, because, you know, this is something that I think people feel quite scared about and a bit like terrified. So the first thing is thinking first off, why do we want to prune at all? So quite often we want to prune stuff because we want to hack it back because it's got too big.
Because I want to get to the front door.
Exactly, or you can't see out your front windows because you can't do something and it's got too big. So there's kind of a hacking back type of stuff.
Yeah.
There's something that we might want more fruit or more flowers from our plants. So there's kind of a pruning to get kind of make it more productive.
Right.
And then we might want to prune to get rid of bits which are dead, you know, bits of the plant, bits of the shrub or the tree which have died back and aren't going to regenerate.
Right.
So those are kind of the three things. And so before you do anything, you think, what am I trying to do by pruning this? Because if you don't know what you're doing, just let the plant or tree be. In nature, there aren't a load of people going around with secateurs which have been doused in tomato ketchup pruning every shrub or tree. And do you know what? Most trees and shrubs in the world, do you know what? They're fine. They are pruned, though, because they're pruned by herbivores. So when we are pruning,
pruned by what? What?
Herbivores, by deer, we'll nibble them.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
And things like that. So when we're pruning, we're pretty much trying to ape nature and trying to manipulate gently what would otherwise happen with deer or other nibbling animals in the wild.
Okay.
So first off, don't know what you're doing and you're not sure, just leave it. You know, what is the worst can happen? It's a tree, it's a shrub. If you do want to cut, once you've cut something off, you cannot stick it back on. So think and take a bit of time, have a cup of tea if you want, but, you know, don't feel like it's something you need to rush or something you need to do. It's a bit like that dodgy fringe we all cut when we were in our teens and thought it was cool. You know, once it's there, you can't go back.
Once you cut it, you think, oh, my God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that is it. But most things can be saved.
Right.
So the next point is wherever you cut from, new stuff will grow from that point. Now, I know that sounds a bit basic, but if you've got a shrub which is overgrown in front of your your front window, for example, and you're fed up because you can't see out, if you just cut it down to just below the window, all the growth will just grow back up from that point. So you'll just get lots and lots and lots of growth because what you've told the plant is, oh, I've taken off all the top bits. This is your chance. Please do loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of growing. So you end up in this cycle where you're hacking back. It's growing more and more.
Yeah.
And then you're hacking back.
Yeah.
And it's growing more and more. So bizarrely, sometimes it's much better rather than to try and cut everything off the top, is to go right into that shrub and cut off a third at the base. So take it right down.
So that's, okay. All right. Yeah.
Or get your loppers in.
I think that scares a lot of people because it's going to look really sort of naff, isn't it?
Well, it might do.
For a little while.
It'll look naff, but it's called what we call rejuvenation. So you basically do it over 3 years. So you go back to the base and you take out a base to back to the basics every winter, over 3 winters. And what that means is that all the new growth will come right from the base. So you'll start off with a much nicer, lower bush rather than spending. What happens is first bit of spring, we cut all the top off and then we're in this constant battle spending our Sunday afternoons when we should be sipping beers, thinking I've got to do that shrub again because it's keep growing back. So rule two is wherever you cut from, it will come back from that point. It won't come back from some magic point elsewhere in the tree or the shrub. It will grow from that point outwards. So use that to guide what you want to do.
So that rule of little and often goes out the window on that then, really.
Yeah, unless you really like the shape, you know, unless you're doing kind of topiary and you want this beautiful, perfect, I don't know, toparized elephant or things like that. But when you're kind of pruning, it comes back to what are you pruning for? What are you trying to do?
Yeah.
Gotcha. And if you're trying to reduce it, be brave, be bold, but go for a third and take out a third.
Right. Okay.
Next rule. Sounds very rules based, doesn't it? But lots of people like rules. I mean, I'm telling you these rules so you can then break them, you know what I mean, and just treat them as guides rather than things must to be followed. If you've got any stuff in your tree or shrub which is dead or diseased or is crossing or rubbing anything over, so if you've got two branches crossing and rubbing into each other, get rid of those first. The reason being is if it's dead, it might have a virus or a fungus or some kind of infection. And if you lop off that branch, it means that branch won't pass the infection back to the rest of your tree or your shrub or the plant, the rest of the plant. So before you do any of the kind of the rejuvenation and the kind of the specialist pruning, stand back and look, say, okay, what here is dead? What do I need to actually take out? And quite often with rose bushes in the winter, you can see because the good stuff will be a dark green or quite woody and strong. But if it's kind of got like hollow sounding and looks all thin and it looks like it could snap off, that is probably dead wood. And you want to cut that out and get rid of that before you do anything else. And again, with that, you're just going to go back as far as you can to until you see healthy, clean growth. It might be taking off an entire branch, an entire limb. You might feel, eek, is this okay? If so, take it back in stages, work your way up to it. But anything which is dead, diseased or dying or crossing over, get rid of that. That's not going to do your plant any good. It stops air circulating, so it can lead up to build up diseases. And you'd be surprised, just if you do that, if you've not done that to any peas or shrubs before, you'd be surprised just how much that improves the look of your plants, because it takes out all the stuff which just makes it look, you know, a bit sad and a bit unloved.
Right. Okay.
Yep. And so what is my next one is, if in doubt, prune things after you have seen them flower. Now, this sounds a bit of a bonkers one, but the number of people I've got, and I go around their gardens, I say, I don't know what this shrub is, never seems to do anything much, you know, and it's just kind of a blob. And I'm like, oh, that's lovely. Have you ever seen it flower? Like, oh, no. Well, it grows, but I cut it back, and then it grows a bit more, and I cut it back. I was like, oh, okay. Because quite often, plants will only flower at the end of their growing season for their wood. So if you keep cutting something back, it means it never gets a chance to put out flowers. You never get the chance to see the scent, see the blossom, appreciate the fruits. So if in doubt and you don't know when to prune a particular tree or bush or shrub, the safest option is to wait up to a whole year until you see it, seeing if it does anything like putting out a flower. And if so, after that, that tends to be the safest time to do any pruning. The techie reason is, some plants flower on new wood, so the wood they grow that season, and other plants flower on wood they made the previous season. So we're now in February 2024. Some plants have already made all their flower buds and it's in the wood already. They'll have been doing it since last summer. And if I go out and cut that all off now, I might get new green stuff growing, but I won't get any flowers.
It's a bit technical, really, isn't it?
It's a lot to remember. So that's why I come back to wait until it's flowered. Yeah, wait until it's flowered. And each plant, you know, I could bamboozle you, but I'm not going to, but each plant has a different time at which they flower. And the safest, best rule is don't prune unless you know why you want to prune.
Right.
Cut out anything diseased, dead or dying. Wait until after flowering, because then you know you've appreciated what it's giving you.
Yeah.
And wherever you cut, it will grow back from that point. So if you want to get something smaller because it's outgrowing its size, it's much better to go and do a really hard cut right at the base and take out a third of the oldest bits of the plant you can find, rather than just giving it a haircut.
See, we got bamboo in our garden, and it just that's just massive. It grows really tall, doesn't it?
It does. And if you try and take off the top, it will just shoot up even more, won't it?
Yeah, well, now you've said that, I think I might go out now when I get home. I might go out when I get home and just chop it off at the bottom, I think.
Exactly. So you go into the stems and get look at the stems at the bottom, because they're probably all quite congested, because that's what happens with bamboo. And yeah, take out, get some loppers or some secateurs after you've tomato ketchup them,
yeah,
and take out up to a third, take out anything which is dead, diseased, and take out a third, and then you'll get new growth from that, from the bottom, so you'll get new fresh growth right at the bottom.
When you say a third, is that a third from the bottom?
No, that's a very good question. A third of the top, the whole of the plant. So if I've got a plant, where say I've got a bamboo clump and it's got 9 canes, this year I would take out 3 of the canes and I would take them almost practically to ground level.
Oh, okay, you're right, yeah.
Yeah, so you're kind of thinning it out, and then what that will do is it will generate 3 new little canes coming up, but they'll be smaller, they'll be growing, and then next year you do the same and you take another third, and that will overall reduce the height of your bamboo rather than doing a haircut across the top, which won't really change
how much it does. So when you say you take a third out of that bamboo, so from the top of it, I'd come down a third and cut that off and then take some out from the bottom?
No, you go all the way down to the bottom. So say you've got 9 canes.
A third as in width third, not a height third.
Exactly. So third of 9 is 3. So you choose 3 and you just cut them out.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Apologies.
Let me just make a note of that. Yeah. All right. A third.
Yeah.
Third width.
Exactly. Yeah. And don't do it all at one end. You know, see if you can pick a few out in the middle just to make it look a bit like, you know, because then it was just thinning it out. Yeah. But sorry, that was a very, very good question.
Because, of course it was.
Again, it's that classic techie stuff that we wang on about, and then people say, what does that actually mean? So thank you. So that's all we're going to do on preening this week, because I'm sure there's loads of questions. But I think that's probably enough for everyone.
So not next week then, but the week after, you'll be back doing pruning part 2.
Yes. And then we'll do things like wisteria and apples and roses, because those are the things which you can prune in the winter.
Yeah.
And we can go into this. And if you've got any questions, and we'll open this up to listeners as well, if they've got particular things they're worried about how to do pruning, we will cover those then.
Okay. And you can get in touch on the Facebook page, or you can also send in an email, which is studio@basingstokecommunityradio.org.uk, and I will pass on to Claire for her expert advice. Right, before you go today, Claire, go on in. What's your song today? Well, I know what it is, because I've got it in front of me on the computer, but go on, you tell me.
I know. Well, I know it's getting warm, but spring is still a way off. I'm still wearing winter woolies. I'm still wearing my winter jumper. So I just thought we'd hold on a little bit more. And because preening in winter is winter work, I thought we would go with White Winter Hymnal by the Fleet Foxes. This might bring back Christmas advert memories, but I just think it's a cracker.
Can you say
of a
that word in February? Are you allowed to say that?
Yes.
Are you? Oh, no.
It was either that or it's Valentine's Day.
Oh, don't say that. No, all right, we'll play that song for you now. Thanks very much, Claire. Speak to you in 2 weeks.
See you. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.